Hey, Coach. Andrew Bogish, Mark Melusis. Thank you for a couple minutes this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it. Good Friday, and we got a great weekend of college football ahead of us. We really do. Let's start here, though, Coach. I'm curious, did you have an issue at all with Clemson? And we know there's a lot of ways to a lot of a season left to go, but did you have an issue with Clemson sitting at 5 in the initial college football playoff ranking system?
Not really. Based on strength of schedule and performance this year, I think they're where they need to be. They've gotten better, but they did have the early win, which Ohio State has not, and Alabama has not. So, of course, LSU by strength of schedule. And Penn State, their schedule's so a little bit tougher. So, no, I had no problem right now with where they are.
Why do you think Lawrence has struggled as I mean, last year, and certainly is going to be when he comes out in a year from now into the NFL, he's going to be the number one quarterback taken, and a lot of people think he's the best quarterback prospect that college football has seen in like 20 years. Why do you think Lawrence has struggled and has not dominated with the way that many people thought he was going to dominate this year, Coach?
Well, I think a lot of it was self-imposed pressure. He had so much success as a true freshman. Then his performance in the national championship game and what they did offensively versus Alabama, then the expectations were so high. I even thought he's coming into the season as the preseason favorite for the Heisman. And I think expectations were so high, it's hard to remain execution at the level that he had, especially how he finished versus Alabama. And he threw some interceptions, and all of a sudden a little negative publicity, pressure builds on him. But it looks like he's settled back into the guy he was last year.
Coach, let me go back to the Clemson college football playoff rankings question. Does Clemson care that Clemson's number 5, or do they actually kind of like the added motivation of being out of the top 4 to start?
No, I think one of Dabo's. I think all head coaches, the ones that are really successful, are great motivators. He's a great motivator, and it's not like his team needed it. But, man, what a great tool they need down the stretch to go to his team and say, hey, again, us against the world. We don't get any respect. And plus, you got to remember, Dabo was a walk-on. I was a walk-on. They played with an edge. And he was never been a coordinator. He tried to get coordinators when he was with me. So he coaches with an edge. And now, again, no respect. Oh, it's. I feel sorry for NC State this week.
You know, you factor. Yeah, exactly right. You factor everything in here, Coach. Up until this stage, I know you follow the ACC network, but you're on the ACC network, but you follow all of college football. Who do you think the best team in the country is right now?
Oh, I think it's LSU and Ohio State right now, based on who they played, based on strength of schedule, how they played, margin of victory. As Urban Meyer said, it's who have you beaten? And I've always, most head coaches, that's if they were on the committee, that would be their number one priority. Hey, who have you beaten them? And margin of victory, how bad have you beat them? So based on that, yes, I think LSU and Ohio State are the best. I would about have to bracket them. If you made me pick one, I'd probably pick LSU over Ohio State if I were picking.
Let's stay with those Tigers and obviously the huge game with Alabama on Saturday. It certainly seems, Tommy, that Tua is going to play, but I can't imagine he's 100%. Where do you think his game needs to be, 65%, 80%? For them to actually win this game against LSU on Saturday, or tomorrow already, wow.
Yeah, I think he'll be honest with you, I think he'll be close to Dylan, for a long 32 years of coaching, 12 as a head coach, having quarterbacks, or I should say skilled athletes go through a high ankle sprain. I think he'll be close to 100%. I think at least 90%, and I think that's good enough and high enough percentage for him to be effective versus LSU. He's going to have to be. I don't think there are other guys that could beat LSU, but I think him at 90% can, because right now, he might be the Heisman Trophy favorite. He was surely was going to the injury. So at 90%, I think he's adequate to beat LSU in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, a lot of people are giving Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback, a lot of love for being the Heisman Trophy favorite right now, the 30 touchdowns, the 4 interceptions. What's impressed you by the LSU quarterback, with the play of the LSU quarterback, Coach?
Well, a couple things. Took the rate close to 80%, unheard of. So his accuracy, that includes runnable balls. You've got good skill. Don't throw it where they got to dive on the ground, jump up, and fall down. Throw it where they can run and make plays. He does that. Throws under pressure. throws under pressure. They've played a tremendous schedule. He's received more defensive pressure than any quarterback this year. And to be close to 80% with that kind of pressure, then the management skills, knowing the offense, things like that. But that would be the most impressive to me. Accuracy under pressure against the people he's played.
Isn't it amazing it took LSU this long to find a guy that can play the position that well?
Well, you know, it cost the first guy's job. Les Miles wouldn't do it. Ed Orgeron wouldn't do it for the first few years. And finally he said, hey, I like it here. Let me do what Nick Saban did. And other people throwing the football. If he's going to cost me my job, but let me try to see if I can imitate him. And they finally made a decision. They hired a guy that they felt comfortable with to give him the reins. And, he made a wise decision. But I'm surprised it took him this long. That's why maybe Nick Saban's still at Alabama. He learned a little quicker.
You know, Tommy, getting a sense here, just by the initial conversation on the game, Tua plays, he's at 90%. Do you think Alabama wins that game at home against LSU tomorrow afternoon if Tua's at 90% playing?
Yeah, I really do. With the week off and preparation, both coaches are great. Obviously preparing with open week. I think Nick Saban a little bit in his favor because of his background, the pros, and the ability to analyze film in a short amount of time. I think that's an advantage for a college coach that's coaching in the pros. And then so I just like the home environment, the extra week off, and I think it'll be a well played game, back and forth, lead changes, but I think Alabama comes out on top at the end.
Tommy, how would you handle a game of this significance as a head coach of either one of these schools? Can you make it feel like just a regular game, or do you have to kind of own the magnitude to have your guys ready for kickoff?
Well, you have to try to as a head coach. You know you can't because of what they're reading, what they're hearing in class, what their family and friends and relatives will tell them on the phone when they call home, social media. No, it won't be a normal game, and the players will know it's not a normal game. Yes, Nick Saban's going to say, hey, it's only one. We got another one next week. Play them one at a time. All the things that coaches say, but the players will know. LSU's and Alabama's it's bigger than life this week.
Do you marvel? Want to get your thoughts on two other undefeated teams that are battling out on Saturday, and that's up in Minnesota. It's an early game tomorrow, noon kickoff Eastern time, and the Golden Gophers entertaining Penn State. How about the job that PJ Fleck has done with that Golden Gopher program here? I mean, the 8-0 start is historic for success for that program, and now Penn State comes to town. But really, kind of being the program builder and what he's been able to accomplish early on in his run up there in Minnesota, Coach.
Well, first of all, it's guiding what coaches like him deserve. But again, with their agent smart, I'm sure their agent called a couple weeks ago and said, hey, Florida State is opening. They have called me. What do you want me to tell PJ? And all of a sudden, a 7-year contract and more money. So he was the first of the guys to reap the benefits of Willie Taggart's departure. But he deserves it. And when you put yourself in a position, a place like Minnesota, win like he does, these things happen. You either go to another place and make a lot of money, or you can make a lot of money where you're at. But you have to do a good job and get their attention. And that's what he's done. He did it at the MAC school, and now he's done it at a Big Ten school. And he's either going to do it at Minnesota, continually do it because he likes it, or he's going to end up in the SEC or at a Penn State, Michigan, or a little bit bigger Big Ten school with a more tradition and history and money.
Well, you brought up Florida State first. What's the, maybe not a specific name, but the profile of a coach that makes sense to you taking over the Noles?
Well, the athletic director, he's kind of new in his position. You can tell because he says, hey, we want a coach who can win a national championship. Well, yeah, that means you probably need to get one that's either played in a playoff game or has won a national championship. And I'm sure initially when that job came open, he says, oh, yeah, listen, PJ Fleck's agent called. And I'm just giving you a situation that probably happened and said that he would be interested. And all of a sudden, they fire Willie Taggart. They're going to have this great A-list of coaches. They say, wait a minute, they're not coming. So I think when he made the statement that, hey, we want a coach who can win a national championship, he's going to see that he's going to be to his B-list pretty soon. The Bob Stoops, PJ Fleck, and maybe Matt Campbell, Iowa State. those guys are not going to be as interested as their agents said they were before they got their raise.
You know, Coach, is the Florida State job as attractive as many believe that it is, or no?
Oh, yes, yes, because of location. The talent in the state of Florida is unbelievable, and they've proven they've done it. They've achieved a high level of success over a long period of time. There's got to be some intangibles that you have that make you capable of doing that. I know my father was a big part of it, but Jimbo said, hey, I can go in there and do the same thing. So if you get the right guy, it is a great job. They've got the second best talent in the ACC right now behind Clemson. Everybody's behind Clemson, but it's surely enough to go in there if it's the right guy and have immediate success and get that recruiting going back like it has in the past.
You know, and listen, he's getting a lot of money after he got fired. But what about Willie Taggart and those, you know, and you know that program, you know the ACC very, very well. What about only having 21 games to kind of, you know, mold that program in his like? Do you think that was enough time for Willie Taggart?
I think there were some signs that indicated that it was not going to head in that direction. The Bowden family are really fond of Willie Taggart because of the way he treated my father and tried to bring him back in the fold. Went over to the house more than once, trying to get him out to practice. But at Oregon, number one penalized team in the nation, he was there. Go to Florida State, your first year, you're the number one penalized team in the nation. Miami game, you have a bunch of penalties. Last year, the tackle for losses, they led the nation. This year, I think they're leading the nation or close to it, and tackle for losses allowed. That's got nothing to do with culture. It's got nothing to do with how Jimbo left. It's got nothing to do with talent level. That's putting a hat on a hat, assignment-wise, at the offensive line and getting Cam Akers, a great back, to the line of scrimmage. That penalties followed him. That wasn't good. And then the tackle for losses and performance on defense. So, and losing to teams where you had better talent. Things were not looking good, unfortunately, after a year and a half. I thought it might have been done at the end of the season. I didn't think they would do it now.
Tommy, I want to ask you one more on a coaching search, and that is in the Big Ten, and that's Rutgers, who are, you know, had an interview with a former Scarlet Knight head coach, Greg Schiano, earlier in the week. Now, when Schiano was there, they were in, obviously, two different conferences. Now they're in the Big Ten. We know they've struggled mightily in the Big Ten conference. You know, you think that's, and we know the success he had there at Rutgers. What about going back to a guy that's already been there? Do you like that idea of a program?
Sometimes. Call Connecticut and Randy Edsel and see how that's working out right now.
That's a good point.
I don't think it's going good. Sometimes it does, more so than not. Now, Matt Brown, the jury's still out, but you know, the immediate success that he's had, he's caught enthusiasm. I think that's a little bit more doable situation and with better foundation than what Rutgers has as far as what North Carolina has in the ACC. So with Mac Brown, I think it's going to work out. Randy Edsel, it doesn't look like it is. So I think you flip a coin on a situation like this. But Greg Schiano is a really good coach, and he's done it there. He knows what it takes. But again, they're fighting teams with a bigger stick. They're in the Big Ten now as opposed to what he was facing when he was there.
Tommy Bowden, ACC Network analyst, former head coach of college football. Hey, Tommy, thank you for the time this morning. Have yourself a wonderful Friday. Enjoy all the action tomorrow, all right?
Hey, November the 8th, Bobby Bowden's 90th birthday today. I'm headed over to Tallahassee to eat oatmeal with him.
There you go. How's Dad doing?
Oh, health is good. Mine's good. I'll go over this weekend and watch him sleep through a whole day of games.
That's a great line. Well, send him our best and happy birthday to your dad, 90 years young. That's fantastic.
Hey, have a good weekend.